Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. My website is www.jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Dave Anderson is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's our good friend and member of our Brain Trust. He's the president of Learn to Lead. Learn to Lead is an international sales and management organization, and he's been a very successful business owner in the past. Having grown up in the automobile industry, now he's converting all the things he learned, into ways to help small businesses like you and me. And he's our good friend and also the author of Up Your Business. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me back. It's great to be back.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show. And, you know, I know one of the things you want to talk about today, Dave, is three reasons why you should make your people better, not happy.
But right.
I want to ask you, how do you reconcile that with the fact that this is Happiness Happens Month? Can we really talk about this during Happiness Happens Month? And
we
here's my question. Well, yeah, and here's my question. I wonder, maybe you can help me. This is sponsored by the Secret Society of Happy People. How could they be secret if they're so happy?
Well, there you go. And you know what? I do think as you get better, you get happy.
I think so, too.
I think the better has to come first.
Success creates happiness.
It does. And you see so many leaders running around the workplace today taking surveys and census and pulses and trying to make sure everyone's happy. Where our focus is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, I learned this long ago, and I'm sure you did too, Jim. It's impossible to make everybody happy, and it's not even important that you make everybody happy. I'm not talking about running around and trying to antagonize people. Don't get me wrong there. But our job as leaders is to get them better. And if you get your people better, they normally start to get happy. And if getting them better doesn't get them happier, then get yourself some real help because you've got the wrong folks on board. And you know, there's just a handful of things. Three examples that I see a lot that maybe some of your listeners can relate to. For instance, Jim, in one of our attempts to make people happy and not better, we start to sugarcoat feedback. And instead of really telling people where they stand, because we don't want to hurt their feelings or make them perhaps offended or feel left out or isolated, we start to take the real issues that are going on in their job and we start to sugarcoat and trivialize and rationalize and marginalize.
Is there some political correctness in there, Dave?
Oh, yeah. It reeks of political correctness. It reeks of political correctness. But we do them a disservice. I really think when you're working for a great leader, there's no gray area. You know where you stand. If you're great, you know it because you're hearing it. If you're failing, you know that too because you're getting good, honest, direct feedback. You know, we've got to get better at caring enough to confront our people. And the political correctness in society, and it's carried over into business today, has made us so reluctant to tell it like it is. And telling it like it is doesn't mean you have to shout it or curse, you know, or belittle people.
Or
it just means
disrespectful.
No, not in any way. It's much less effective if you do those stupid things. It just means you care enough to sit down with them and really tell them where they stand and tell them how to get better. Now, it also means that you don't hold back giving your great people the feedback they deserve to hear because you're afraid someone else is going to feel left out. You know, well, people say, well, if I tell Jim he's great, that's going to make Sue feel bad because, you know, she's not going to hear the same compliment. That's not fair either.
That's right. That's right. But the things that you're fighting against right now with your perspective, which I agree with, this is something we're doing in our society, though, isn't it? I mean, the schools are trying to make people happy, not bitter, and our society is moving in that direction.
Oh, it is. Well, you know,
political correctness is just about, God save us from from political correctness.
It's a mental illness. Honestly, I think that's what it is. Because it is dishonest, political correctness is a mental illness. I've got another book coming out in October that talks a lot about this political correct nonsense that we have to overcome, because it really will neuter you as a leader. It'll water you down. It'll immobilize you. But what we have to understand is, look, we've got to seek improvement over being approved. We've got to get back to running a merit-based workplace. You mentioned the school systems. My goodness, there are schools today that are doing away with failing grades and competitive sports so kids don't get their feelings hurt and learn what it's like to lose. Well, they're breeding a bunch of future workplace wimps, because when these kids get in the workplace, someday, if they get into a good one, they'll find out that there are absolutes. You know,
right.
There is winning, there is losing. It's not all one big happy gray area. So, you know, feedback is the breakfast of champions, and
well,
people need
about,
it to grow.
Let's talk about why somebody, what could make somebody happy. Even somebody who maybe is not predisposed naturally to be a happy person.
Right.
Fulfillment, feeling productive, feeling feeling accomplished, that makes people happy, doesn't it?
Well, it does, Jim. Feeling like I'm better today than I was yesterday. You know, even if I'm not there yet, maybe I've never won the race yet, but maybe I just ran the last 100 yards faster than I ever have before. That's going to make me feel better. That's going to build self-esteem. I don't believe you can engender self-esteem into people by pretending things aren't happening, by sweeping them under a carpet, by failing to confront them. I think the person still down deep knows they're there. You know they're there. And
right.
If you're not dealing with them, you secretly start to resent that person rather than help that person.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, the feedback is just something. I think we have to give it more quickly, more honestly. I think we have to do it more consistently. I think giving better feedback is the quickest, most cost-effective way to improve an employee's performance.
Now, there have to be settings, though, depending on the type of feedback you're giving them, right? You have to be aware of how you're doing it and where you're doing it and when you're
one
doing
of the,
it, don't you?
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, some leaders are very reckless with this, and they give, you know, they give the constructive or destructive feedback in front of other people. That's one of the dumbest things you can do as a leader. You know, you have to do it in the proper time, in the proper place, in the proper tone. You have to have some finesse about you to make this feedback work. Giving feedback is not an excuse to be abusive to people.
Mm-hmm. I had a manager once who said, praise in public, criticize in private.
Yeah, and it's great advice. And I see leaders today who don't get it. They get it backwards sometimes, and they don't acclaim their people in public because they're afraid they're going to hurt someone else's feelings,
right. But
yet they criticize in private. They criticize in public, yeah.
And that's a demotivated organization happening in front of your very eyes. Stand by, Dave. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Dave Anderson. He's the author of Up Your Business 20 Till. I'm sorry, 20 After. I'm on the wrong side of the clock. It's 20 after the hour. Stay with me.
No matter what the people say,
it don't matter.
They don't even know.
And we're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us today. Dave Anderson is our guest. He's the author of Up Your Business. This is a very successful, internationally successful book, ladies and gentlemen, that I encourage you to check out, because people are enjoying it and taking advantage of it all over the world. And Dave, congratulations on the international success of this book.
Thank you. It's, you know, good leadership principles and business principles really seem to translate, you know, in different cultures and different businesses. I'm very pleased with how well that's worked out.
Well, and it's authored by a man who knows how to make a payroll. And that's the kind of guy we like around here, Dave.
Well, there's a difference. There's a lot of academics and so forth, not to take anything away from them, that write books. They don't have the perspective of a lot of your listeners and a lot of your guests that have actually had to go out and do something make a payroll.
They don't know what it's. They don't always know what it's like you and I do, to make a payroll and to wonder if the next phone call is going to be the bank saying, how are you going to come with this check?
That's right.
And I've been there, you've been there, and
that's right.
So have most of the folks in my audience. And the new book coming out is going to be out in October.
It will.
And tell us the title of that one.
It's called If You Don't Make Waves, You'll Drown.
And you're going to launch that on this show, right?
We are. We are indeed going to launch it on this show.
Looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Okay. We're talking about the importance of actually, three reasons why, as you say, you should make your people better, not happy. How many have we? What have we done? One or two of the reasons?
Yeah, we spent a lot on the one for feedback.
Right.
Let's get to these others. You know, another thing that I see a lot of bosses do, Jim, is they start to weaken the strong in order to strengthen the weak in their organization. I mean, if you ask most managers, where do you spend most of your time, with the people at the top or the people down at the bottom, guess what they say most of the time? It's at the bottom, trying to elevate the miserable up to mediocre, and they're spending more time with the strugglers because they don't want them to feel left out, they don't want them to get too far behind, they don't want them to get isolated, and there's nothing wrong.
Do you think that they also get the they also start believing that they're always going to have people like that, that in every organization there it's destined that they'll have those kinds of folks?
Yes, and once they believe that, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
You know, and usually it's because they hire the wrong people to begin with, and they're doomed from the outset.
And all the time that they spend on them was never going to help anyway.
No, it doesn't, because they have too far to go. These people at the bottom, they have too far to go.
And
even
it's not
if you,
that those people are not redeemable somewhere else. They probably are, just not in that organization.
Not in
that role.
Doesn't mean they're a bad person. It means they're a bad fit. They're just
a
bad fit.
And maybe the best thing you could do for them would be to send them on their way.
That is a liberating thing. It's good for them. It's good for the rest of the team. You can't ignore your strong people. You can't let their potential rot on a vine. These are the people who are bringing something to the table and giving you something to work with. You can't weaken the strong, taking your time and energy and money away from those people to try to strengthen the weak.
But Dave,
it's bad philosophy.
We don't have HR people typically in most small businesses that don't have, and we'd rather have somebody, someone would throw a snake on us as to have to go through the hiring process again.
Exactly.
And so we just live with what we've got.
We do, and that's one thing I talk about a lot in Up Your Business, is we've got to get better at hiring slower and firing faster. Hire slow, fire fast is a good forward strategy for building that team. The third thing I got to tell you, Jim, that I think we do in business to try to make people happy rather than not making them better is we just don't hold them accountable. This really just ties right into this political correctness mess we were talking about. There's no or else in business anymore. In so many businesses, there's got to be an or else. There's got to be a time where you've got to do it. Here's when you have to have it done by, or else this is what's going to happen. We don't hold people accountable. There are no consequences. And it's that old behavioral science law that says, if you want to change someone's behavior, you've got to change the consequence for that behavior. I mean, if somebody is coming in late every day, they're going to keep coming in late every day until there is a consequence for coming in late. And, but people get this all wrong. They think because you hold them accountable means you have to get harsh or disrespectful or belittle them, and that's totally not true. My favorite story of accountability is Coach John Wooden, who, as you know, coached the UCLA Bruins for years, won 7 national championships in a row, won 10 in 12 years. But yet he never threw a chair, never raised his voice, never belittled a player, because he knew how to hold people accountable. There was a story of Bill Walton coming back. He was the star player, one of the best in the country, came back from a 2-week break, and he had grown a beard, which was against the UCLA rules. So Coach Wooden goes up to him and he says, Bill, have you forgotten something? And Walton said, well, Coach, if you're talking about the beard, I like it. I think I deserve to have it. I'm going to keep it. And Coach Wooden said, now, Bill, is that something you feel strongly about? And Walton said, well, yes, Coach, it is. It's my right to have the beard, and I'm going to keep the beard. And Coach Wooden said, well, Bill, I really respect people who stand up for what they believe. Truly, I do. And, Bill, the team is going to miss you. And Bill Walton said not another word. He went back into the locker room. He shaved off the beard. He came back onto the court and practiced. There was never any ill feelings, never came up again, never an ill word spoken between these two guys. To me, that's ideal accountability. Not yelling, shouting, belittling, calling names. People know where you stand. They know where they stand, but they know you mean what you say. They know you're going to follow through.
I got to stop because we're out of time. Give us your website, please.
It's www.learntolead.com.
Learntolead.com, folks. Check that out. Just find out what Dave's got going on, and don't forget to check out his book, Up Your Business. Thanks, Dave. See you next time.
Thanks for having me, Jim. Take
care. Dave Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Right back with Philippa Gaines. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That death don't like him. Sure plays a mean.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.